Hello, welcome to True Story. This is Nicole Edelman, and I'm with Ivo Bystrychan. And we are going to be talking about his film, Invisible Landscapes. True Story is powered by the Institute of Documentary Film, and I'm looking forward to speaking with Ivo. He just came back from the Hilava Film Festival, in 2022. And we're gonna jump right in to his film, Invisible Landscapes. In the beginning of your film, we see that there are two musicians, two field recordists, and a philosopher venture on a mission to discover the sound of climate collapse. You visited places in the Icelandic and Czech landscapes that have been marked by industry, as well as those seemingly left untouched by human activity. It's a very beautiful film. You have been using recording technology, and you have given a voice to the physical places where significant power generating, natural, and also political processes are taking place. And you called this methodology field recording. Can you explain to us what a field recording means?
Yeah, it maybe sounds a little difficult, but in fact, this is the very easy thing. It just means sound recording outside the studio, recording in terrain, recording outside. So you just take microphone and you go outside. That's it. Of course, there is a variety of ways how you can do it. In our way, it was using very special tools, geophones, hydrophones, so you can put your mic possibly everywhere you want, put it to the ground to try to hear vibrances from the land. You can put it into the water in electricity facility or a hydropower dam or places like this. You can use ambio microphone that allows you to move with the sound like a 360 degrees and things like this. So we used this going outside with micro to understand things that accompany our planet more.
It's really a beautiful film, and may this inspire our listeners to view it. What was the inspiration to go deep into the sound system of the earth and really share the sounds that are unseen? Obviously, they're sounds, and to share them in this way.
I'm many years interested in the problem of climate change. And my inspiration were documentary films that are about it. And I've seen a lot of them. And one day I just thought it's all the time, all the same, based on factual things, based on depicting, like visual depicting of abandoned places around the planet. And specialists and experts speaking about why this happened and what should we do and things like that. And it became boring to me that the public, I don't think, would be persuaded to change anything if it is exposed to this factual language. And I was trying to think about some element that could be new to us, something that can drive our emotions again, because pictures of abandoned places or of industrial damage, it doesn't speak to us anymore because we've seen a lot. And if is it not happening just in our neighborhood, we just don't care that much, most of us. So I thought that if I bring some new element, it can drive new emotions, new thoughts, maybe new thinking about problems, about risks, about solutions, about human role in the planet, about relationships we have to the non-human objects and life, and to drive the recognition of complexity that we didn't think before.
Ivo Bystrychan is a film director and screenwriter based in the Czech Republic. He graduated in sociology from Masaryk University in Brno and the Department of Documentary Film at FAMU in Prague. His work usually focuses on social and environmental themes. Ivo debuted with the feature film My Last 150,000 Cigarettes, a film about the struggle with the tobacco industry, and followed it up by The Byway, a film capturing a social conflict in the backdrop of the construction of the D8 motorway in 2014, sparkling the interest of a larger audience. He also involves himself as a playwright and a producer of documentary podcasts. In addition to independent documentaries, he's bringing environmental and economic issues to not only cinematic audiences, but TV and young audiences, bringing his film and work to primary schools. His mid-length documentary film Invisible Landscapes, a cinematic experimental reflection, turns to the sounds made by the infrastructures and ecosystems, underpinning our civilization in the context of climate collapse. The exploration is based on a sonic expedition to selected locations in the Czech Republic and Iceland, as countries with contrasting approaches to the exploitation and extraction of natural resources. The film premiered at the Hlava International Documentary Film Festival in October 2022, and it's also part of the East Silver Catalog 2022.
To our listeners, again, this is a really beautiful film, and I love how it was shot. There's these wide shots, very expansive, very cinematic, and then we get to know the characters of your team, the sound recordists, and I'm going to ask a few questions about them in a minute, but it's like a band. You guys have formed a band. So, and also some of these questions are from one of our True Story teammates, Walter, and I will ask, The Invisible Landscape is not only a middle-length film, it is a compact project in which you, as the author of the idea, gradually invited musicians, field recordists, and a philosopher. How did this process, this very artistic process, come about in the first place? And how did you define that you needed people with these particular professions?
It began right with a philosopher, with Lukáš Likavčan, who specializes himself to technologies and like the world of technologies and technologies in the world. And it was primarily his text that bring me many ideas about the concept of the film. And soon it came an idea to me to involve him, that it would be very interesting to have him on the set with his very like provocative thinking, without his intensive interest about objects around us. And then I was thinking about not really artists, but about like people who could be sensitive enough to take care about this, who could be really interested, who could like survive many days just listening some pipes and turbines and motors and whatever. And it also very soon came to me an idea to engage Václav Havelka from the band quite renowned here, which is called Please the Trees. And he's my friend. And he for many years fighted with this band against destroying the National Park of Šumava. The band dedicated a lot of activity like to help this natural reserve to survive as it is, as a wilderness. So I thought that he would be a very good person to listen, to think, to interpret what we hear. And so, and then we were like looking for the Icelandic counterpart, and we found him in a person of Pantur Arensen, who is like a ambient artist who is producing like ambient soundscapes, and landscape as such is a very important motif to him. So we thought that he will be another suitable person for deep listening in landscapes of his country and also our country. And what comes about filter cordists, this was for sure in the beginning that we would need them. We couldn't do that by ourselves because you need really skillful people who know how to record. If I did it, it would be a disaster. And we're looking for best people recommended by others. And we found Sara Pinheiro, who is from Portugal, but she lives in Czech Republic. So that was
convenient.
That was very convenient, practical. And Icelandic, he's an electrician by profession, but he's doing this special field recording for maybe 30 years, maybe from his 16 when he got for the first time as a present from parents, a cassette recorder, and he started to do weird things. Now he's the most intense field recordist in Iceland.
Interesting.
So this way, this bunch of people came together.
I love it. It's a motley crew, a fun band, a really fascinating and sensitive film, very structural and sensitive film. Also, as you're talking, it is literally about deep listening. It's about deep listening to what we've done regarding our society and asking very big questions, and deep listening where there's magnets on steel rods and you are actively listening. And sometimes there's a scene of one of the team members looking like they're jamming out. Like, it's a banger. Very beautiful film, very Buddhist, I'd say, as well. After the finish of this unique project comes a music album, yeah, of the Czech and Icelandic independent music scene. This album, which is a crucial part of the interdisciplinary project Future Landscapes, takes the listener to places that are crucial to the functioning of contemporary civilization. And in the film, you really speak to or what I received, that this film was an invitation to create a different kind of society. And I definitely would love for you to speak about that, also about this album. What is the connection of this music with your film poetry, and what is different for you? And again, as I was saying, for me, I really was watching, and you know, I'm just very personally, I struggle with, how did we get here? How did we build a society that seems to be so indifferent is the word that's coming up for me right now about our impact on environment and our greater evolution. It scares me. It makes me feel many things, you know? So I know I've asked a bunch of questions. You can share what feels right to you.
Maybe start with the end. To me, the question how we got here is very crucial, because in these questions we can hear some signs of solutions for the future world. We can be sure that we cannot leave it as it is and continue as it was to the future, because we can see that we are threatened by the structure and by the system. It took many years for the structure to be based in this solid way. Of course, now it's very difficult to do something about it, because it's too solid to change, and all the welfare around the world is dependent on it, on energetic infrastructures as they are, on food production, on the way how the landscapes are managed. And in my opinion, it happened that it all, or the most important infrastructure, got dominated by corporations and due to the profit. And I think this is the basic problem, because this is the basic problem of everything, because these all are like shared, well, it's based on something that we have a common as a humankind. And of course, not only the humankind, because we have different kinds are sharing this planet. But it's approached as someone's properties, and it's only very narrow groups of people. And as it is assigned in this way, then the change from the society is very difficult, because the private property, you're used to that, is untouchable.
You bring up so much stuff. I'm just thinking, oh gosh, you know, greed and kleptocracy and, you know, when is enough enough, and taking personal responsibility for that while also knowing it is a corporate endeavor. We made huge corporations that are managing this.
Sometimes even never mind that it's not a corporation, but it's state who's the owner.
Yep.
But in this, let's say, energetic crisis, we can see that the state as owner continues in putting high prices, even though, for example, the coal power-based electricity, like the costs of production now, they're not five times more high than last year, but we are paying five times more to the state as an owner. So this is like a very unsolidary politics which is behind it. Everything is round by the idea of profit no matter what. And this is, I think, is the basic problem of everything. And this I wanted to be somehow apparent in the film, not maybe in the first plan, but if you go, for example, to the inside of the coal power plant, then you can hear in the intense, very brutal sound how huge, how robust this facility is. And you can start to feel many ways what it means, and that you can hear that this robust sound of burning coal is also sound of the politics of some kind. And this, I think, is important. I don't want this to be perceived as a like first plan ecological critique that I don't know, burning coal is bad. Yeah, of course, it's nowadays, it's very bad because it produces CO2, of course. But this is what everybody knows. What we don't know is what to do with it, how to change the whole structure, like to serve people, to serve humanity, to be more okay with the planet, with the other kinds that are sharing the planet with us. And this is very difficult because it means like to think about the structure of society and the structure of economy in a very different way. And we don't know how.
I know.
Because we lost, I think we lost like fantasy that these things got too complicated for us to understand. And in the school, in those separate subjects, we never go like to how energy production works. Did you learn it at school?
No, no, that's a great question. No,
nobody does.
I mean, unless you were really interested in it and you wanted to pursue it.
Yeah, so the level of discussion in society is very poor. What comes about the things, because we are not used to think and feel things in their complexity. The consciousness of the complexity is something that is like threatening us. Because then we think, oh, it's too blurred, it's too complicated. I don't understand this. What can I do? So after that, we just talk if electricity is too expensive, if the politicians are stupid, if the company owners are stupid, and this is everything we are able to talk about, and this is not adequate.
Ivo, fascinating. And I want to take it in a different direction almost just because I think a lot about our own responsibility as humans too, and how we can integrate those kinds of dialogues better, earlier, in a less threatening way, to understand that we're overpopulated, to understand the impact that we have as humans, that, you know, the way that we've been working no longer works, and to take some responsibility in it and less fear, like to heal the fear, you know, and to just slowly make some adjustments. Because in your film, as you watch it, these are huge, huge industrial complexes. Yeah. And you write beautifully there. What we're watching in your very gorgeous film are extinction events. Yeah. And I have watched many documentaries where I've learned about methane eating animals. But what else? And also you bring up aquaponic farming. And that is interesting to me. And we're not going to have a deep chat to talk about it now, but I hope to meet you again in the future. But it's without soil. It's without ground, to be unsoiled, ungrounded, to be free from some of that. I think, again, I saw it as a very philosophical film, very beautiful. We only have a few minutes left. So If I may ask specifically, what's next?
Do you mean about this film or another film?
Both. You know, I'd love for you to answer that on how you can share with our listeners what we can do. Like when we watch environmental films like this, what do you suggest as a way for all to help us take greater responsibility in a joyful way? I'll say that. What's next for this film and what's next for you?
Thank you. What I think should be next, and I will be working on it, it's to inspire the ways how to more understand things. And this is the reason why we did this, that we go with microphones to the pipes, for example. And it sounds like crazy. And maybe it can sound that we are like esoteric crazy people. But I think listening and perceiving and trying to understand the things, technologies, objects, whatever, is very crucial to our understanding to the world. I was speaking about complexity, and this is, I think, we need to understand, and we can do it very consciously, very practically. It's a fun. It's very interesting. It's just about doing something different than we were doing until this time. We can use it as a fun with kids
and to explain
many things over it. You can take your kids to the wood and listen with the microphone, how it sounds, what it means, what is our role in that all, what are our problematic role in that. We can get much more like sensitive, not to be like blah blah blah, some like magical fog over us. It's not magic. It's a real life.
Yeah.
And we have many technological, very good tools that can bring us to those worlds. And finally, I'm sure about this, that we must drive this thinking into the schools and begin very early. We have to get much more sensitive as an adult and put this sensitivity into the schools. Yeah. And about this is my next film project, though.
Yeah, bring more sound equipment into the schools. Use it as a form of practice to really deepen our listening, deep listening. It's awesome. How can people see the film? What is next for Invisible Landscapes?
Currently, our team is working on a festival distribution.
Okay.
We want to get it to festivals of creative documentary and also like topical festivals that are about sound, technology, environmental topics, ethnology, and so on. And in the spring, we want to get it to specialized cinemas. It's not focused on the mass distribution because it's not like a mass audience film, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who are running cinemas in towns who are even now interested in screening that with some discussion, with a concert of the band that was formed over the project and has a new album. So this is our plans.
Fascinating. Yes, there's a project called Future Landscapes, which is the album, if I understand correctly, with the team from the film. Very, very cool. Very beautiful. Thank you so much, Ivo, for being on our podcast. This is True Story. This is Ivo Bastrichian and Invisible Landscapes. Thank you so much. Can't wait until next time.
Thank you very much.